Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no one despise you. So far, our sermon text. In Christ Jesus, our God and Savior, who as our substitute redeemed us from all lost deeds and purified us for good works, dear fellow redeemed. What an awesome calling. What an awesome calling the Lord laid upon young pastor Titus. The Apostle Paul and Titus had gone to the island of Crete, and there they proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it spread like wildfire. Many communities there received the good news of salvation with joy and thanksgiving, and new congregations were established. But then the Apostle Paul left for the mainland, and he left Titus behind, with the calling to consolidate, to organize these congregations. Titus' calling was a little bit different than young Pastor Timothy. Pastor Timothy was called to restore the church in Ephesus, which was already established. Titus was called to establish these fledgling churches around the island of Crete. Because it was such a massive task, the Apostle Paul sat down and wrote this short three-letter chapter book, Letter to Titus. The first thing he did was encourage Titus in his calling. Then he said, appoint elders to help you. There's no way that one man could go throughout the island of Crete and establish and organize all these different congregations. So he said, find men who are of proven character, God-fearing examples, to help you. But in this letter, the Apostle Paul not only talks to the elders and to Titus, he says that all the congregation members should be involved. Don't let the pastor do it alone. Serve him gladly. Paul clearly shows in this letter that congregation members have a vital function in the church, and that is to serve, not to be served. To serve as living examples of the word that they believed. And so this little letter is practical living of your saving faith in our everyday lives. Paul encourages Titus to preach that faithfully. And so our theme this morning is a question. What should Christian pastors preach about? A few years back, we used that same theme, only it was on Christmas Day. What should pastors preach about on Christmas? Well, that's pretty obvious. We should preach about Jesus being born of the Virgin Mary, the God-man, Savior, coming to this earth. But what should Christian pastors preach about on Sunday? That would seem pretty obvious too, wouldn't it? But not really. I'm sure we'd be pretty surprised if we asked that question of the person on the street. What should Christian pastors preach about? We'd probably be even surprised if we asked members. We'd probably even be surprised if we asked pastors. We'd probably get answers like this. Christian pastors should preach about love and sharing, or how they should bring about peace on this earth between nations, or maybe they should preach about the grace of giving, or maybe housing the homeless, or maybe being good environmentalists and saving the world, or feeding the hungry. This morning, we're not interested in what I, or you, or anyone else think about what Christian pastors should preach about, but what God thinks. And that's exactly what Christian pastors should preach about. What God says. God's word. In the first verse of our text, the Apostle Paul says to the young pastor Titus, "But as for you, Titus, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." The word there, speak, literally means to instruct or to teach. So he's telling Titus, teach or instruct not what you think, not your own views or opinions, not your own wisdom, but God's word, things proper for sound doctrine. Therefore, our first point is Christian pastors should preach God's grace in Christ saves. You read in verse 11, Paul writes, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." That's a strange passage. How can God's grace, God's undeserved love, be shown or appear to us? What does it look like? Is it purple? Is it a bright light? Is it a lightning bolt? No, God's grace has appeared to us in the person of Jesus Christ. This word appear is used when the sun suddenly appears and shines through the dark clouds and sends its rays on this earth. What a wonderful picture that is. God's grace suddenly appears in this dark world of sin and death and unbelief and shines upon all of us. When Christ came, when Jesus was born in this world in Bethlehem, he appeared. God's grace appeared in human flesh and blood. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." But Paul's meaning of this appearing of God's grace in the person of Jesus means more than just his coming here on this earth. It means everything Jesus did, his whole life, his living that perfect, obedient life of love and thought, word, and deed, his going to the cross to be sacrificed, to die and be damned for us, his resurrection back from the grave. There in Christ and his life, we see God's grace, God's undeserved love for you and for me. It was Jesus who showed God's favor to all people. God's eternal desire to save lost mankind was seen and shown when the Father sent his Son and sacrificed him for you and for me. And so we see that all works, all efforts, all merit by humanity is excluded. We see that already with the definition of the word grace. It's free. It's a gift. It is undeserved. It appeared to mankind. It wasn't earned or merited by mankind. And even as every single one of us are powerless to make the sun shine through the dark clouds, so we're powerless also to earn or to merit God's grace and our own salvation. We cannot, by our own merit, reason, strength, earn or deserve Jesus' love, our Savior's love. And just as the sun shines brightly on us freely, So God's grace in Christ shines upon us in his word. That's what Christian pastors should preach about. That by essence, by nature, every one of you and me are spiritually dead, totally corrupt, lost, eternally damned, living in the darkness of unbelief. But God's loving grace has shined upon us. His loving grace has been seen by us, has appeared to us in the person of Jesus, in his word, in the gospel of his grace. It's not only shown to us believers, Paul says, but to all people. Paul writes, "Look, we should be looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us." For all of us, for every single one of us, for all the us's in this world, every single person, Jesus Christ came to suffer and die. What a wonder. What amazement. How often they just kind of pass right by us. In fact, maybe even right now, we didn't quite hear what I just said. Because maybe we were distracted. Maybe we weren't listening carefully. Maybe we were daydreaming. Jesus gave himself for us. He willingly left his home on high. Willingly took upon himself flesh and blood like we have. Willingly allowed himself to be placed under his Father's commandments. And willingly kept them all perfectly in thought, word, and deed. We talked about this morning how amazing that is, that Jesus never had a sinful thought. And then he willingly took that perfect life which he lived for us and allowed himself to be damned by his Heavenly Father and go through the pain of the crucifixion upon the cross to pay for the guilt and the punishment of every single one of my sins and your sins and the sins of every single person ever conceived in the history of this world. He wasn't forced to do that. He did that willingly, all because he loved us. Do we truly comprehend and appreciate all that? Paul says, "Christ's sacrifice redeemed us from every lawless deed, all wickedness, every single sin we've been redeemed from, bought back through Christ's shed blood." And that's what Christian pastors should also preach about. That God's grace in Christ empowers us. Paul writes, "That he might purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." Through Christ we've been purified of all of our sins, but also through Christ and his gospel, we've been empowered to live for him, eager to do what is good, Paul says. We've been redeemed, freed, saved, and now given the power to live for God. People that have been set free from their sins, set free from the slavery of death and hell, cannot but respond with thanksgiving and joy and a heart that wants to serve the Lord. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. I'm the light of the world, and if you believe in me, you're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Christ has removed all of our sins and fills us with his righteousness, making us new creatures, empowering us to do good works. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, "He died for all." Why? "That those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." Paul is telling us that God's grace gives us the power to say no to unrighteousness to say no to those worldly lusts, and to be able, empowering us to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Again, this is no power from within us. It's a power that comes from God's gospel, a gospel of his grace. The Holy Spirit not only declaring to you and me, we're free from our sins, we've been saved by Jesus Christ's shed blood, but now giving us the ability to say yes to Jesus' words, and yes to wanting to serve and live for him and serving one another. It's the power of God. It empowers us to avoid sinful pleasures, the desire to willingly want to serve our Savior Jesus. Now, these are our second question this morning in our theme. To whom should Christian pastors preach? To old and the young, to male and female. With Christ's love ruling in the hearts of his brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul says to Titus, teach these things to your members. Lay this upon their hearts. And they'll be willing to want to hear these things. They'll be willing to want to put them into practice in their daily lives. So Paul says, talk to the old men, the old ladies, and the young men. And to the old men, he says, let the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. These words mean to avoid extremes, to be moderate, dignified, a man of balanced virtue, thoughtful, considerate, not easily angered or upset, level-headed, one with the strength of mind to govern his emotions and his feelings, one will not fly off the handle easily, trusting God simply, able to stand in Christ through thick and thin, and with deep compassion for others. Paul is describing a mature Christian, and saying, Titus, teach your old men these virtues. Then he says to the older women, they are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women. To the young women, Paul writes, love your husbands, love your children, be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to your own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. To the young men, Paul writes, be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. And then to Christian workers, Paul writes, be obedient to your own master, your boss. Be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, stealing, embezzling, but showing all good fidelity, faithfulness, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. And as I look out at this congregation of Peace of Christ, we see that many of you have been putting those virtues into practice in your daily lives. Just recently, too, opening your doors to house pastors this coming week for our pastor conference. Many of you signing up to give a food and offerings to buy food and help the setting up, the serving, the cleanup as we have those meals for our pastors. In many other ways, in putting these Christian virtues into practice in your daily lives, by having that gospel message work on your hearts, be assured we're saved, but also empower you to say no to sin and yes to service to each other. We have one other blessed opportunity this coming week, and that is on Wednesday night. You come to our supper between 5:30 and 6:30, and to come and thank and praise our God in that communion worship service that we'll be having at 7 p.m., which one of the pastors will be preaching in a communion service together with it. That's what Christian pastors should preach about. God's grace in Christ saves. God's grace in Christ empowers. And they should preach to all people, old, young, male, and female. May the joy, the appreciation, the wonder of God's grace in Christ Jesus, the wonder of his deep, sacrificing, selfless love for me and for you, move us to dedicate ourselves in loving obedience to him, and to be empowered by the Spirit to be living examples of those who live for Christ by serving each other in love. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.